from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny. The word came at 3 a.m. yesterday, the signing of an interim agreement between world powers and Iran to press the pause button on Iran's nuclear development. The deal is already generating fierce reaction both here and around the globe, and in our first half hour, we'll talk about what comes next. And then in our second half hour, we'll turn our attention to what happened at San Jose State last week, the news that a black student had been tormented for months by his roommates. How that could happen and what it says about campus race relations will be our topic in our second half hour. It's all ahead on Forum after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Dave Iverson, in today for Michael Krasny. Yesterday, Iran, the United States, France, Britain, China, and Russia signed an interim agreement that would essentially place Iran's nuclear program on hold as negotiators try to work out a more permanent deal. In a sense, it's an agreement to try and reach an agreement. During this six-month window, Iran has agreed to stop work on its heavy water reactor, to not add any more new centrifuges, that's what's used to enrich uranium, and to agree to daily inspections. In return, some sanctions against Iran are reduced, and Iran also gets access to $3.6 billion in frozen assets. We want to get reaction to the deal, what it means, and what is ahead in the coming months. Joining us to do that, Janine Zakaria. She's visiting lecturer at Stanford University and former Jerusalem Bureau Chief and Middle East Correspondent for The Washington Post. Janine, good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
Thanks for joining us. Joining us as well is Gulnaz Esfandiari. She is the Senior Correspondent for Radio Free Europe and editor of the award-winning Persian Letters blog. Gulnaz, good morning as well.
Good morning.
So let me begin by asking you each your assessment of the deal that was signed early yesterday. And Janine, I'm curious about whether you see any particulars in the agreement as being especially significant, or whether the significance is just that there is a deal at all.
Well, I think no. I think there definitely are some specific things that are to be applauded. Most notably, A, that you're going to have these inspectors on the ground being able to monitor any potential violations of the accord, the temporary accord, interim accord, whatever you want to call it. And especially this line, which I think you may have referred to, about Iran's obligating itself to roll back some of the uranium that it had enriched to 20%. That was a particular concern of the Israelis because, without getting too technical, at 20% it's much easier to get to weapons-grade uranium than it is to 5%, from 5%, which they are going to be allowed to do. I'm less hung up on the idea that Iran maintains the right to enrich. This is something that's upsetting the Israelis and the Saudis and other people who are upset with the deal. But overall, I think a very good deal, and I think remarkable if you look at how quickly, actually. I mean, I've covered these kind of negotiations for almost a decade. You had President Obama speak to the president of Iran, if you recall, in September. First time a U.S. president spoke with an Iranian president in three decades. You had a couple meetings of Secretary Kerry. We don't really know all the secret talks that were going on over the last couple weeks. And here you have a deal. So I think there's something to be said for just the rapidity with which this deal unfolded.
Gulnaz Esfandiari, do you concur with the significance of these particular limits? And comment, if you would, also on this question that's come up a lot in the last 24 hours about whether or not the deal allows Iran to have the right, quote unquote, to continue to enrich uranium.
I think this deal is a major diplomatic achievement for President Obama, but also for President Rouhani in Iran. This is a very significant agreement that has been signed also in the context of Iran-U.S. relations. You know, the two countries haven't been had diplomatic relations for more than 30 years, and now, you know, they managed to sign a deal that makes it very difficult or almost impossible for Iran to make, if it wants to make any further progress toward producing a nuclear weapon in the next 6 months. So I think it can be turned into a landmark agreement if the two sides manage to reach a permanent deal. So probably the hard part starts now. As you mentioned, one of the issues is whether Iran has the right to enrich uranium. uranium or doesn't. Iran claims that it has the right. The U.S. says that it doesn't. There's a line in the agreement that, you know, Iran has been can't enrich uranium. Now we have to see what will be the final agreement once the two sides again sit and talk about this issue.
What do you make, Janine Zakaria, of the reaction so far? Let's start in the United States and then we'll sort of expand out from there. The lot of intense reaction on Capitol Hill in particular from both Democrats and Republicans who aren't very happy with this. Eric Cantor said this morning on CBS that the approach to Iran should be mistrust but verify. Chuck Schumer, Democratic Senator from New York, also voicing concerns about that. This is an agreement that doesn't require congressional ratification, as I understand it, but what do you make of that reaction? What's going on with that?
No, it doesn't require congressional ratification, but of course they do have the sanctions card, and you know, part of what brought Iran to the table here are the intense U.S. and I might add European and international sanctions, particularly an EU oil embargo that was put in place in 2012, which really sent the Iranian economy into a tailspin. So, I mean, the Congress, they love when they get to play foreign policy and have an influence here, and I think it's unfortunate that we're going to probably see a showdown in the next couple weeks, starting in early December, where Congress tries to push some new sanctions, even as the president has committed the United States to the six-month window of negotiations and actually freezing some sanctions. And then President Obama, I expect, is going to have to use a veto. But look, I mean, AIPAC, pro-Israel lobby, other interests, Saudi interests, they've been lobbying hard to make sure that, you know, the U.S. and their allies on the Hill in particular don't fall prey to, you know, any shenanigans with the Iranians. That's the way the Israelis see it. And they keep in mind, and I think many on Capitol Hill remember what happened with North Korea. I mean, Prime Minister Netanyahu, maybe we'll get to that in a little bit, himself, you know, remarked, you know, we had a deal with North Korea in 2005. They committed to all kinds of things, and they cheated, obfuscated, broke the deal. A lot of sanctions were rolled back. They were taken off the state sponsors of terrorism list. Carrots, carrots, carrots. And then now, you know, North Korea is a nuclear power. So I think that's what Congress is thinking, and I think it's going to be a real challenge for the president to deal with this.
Golnaz, as someone who grew up in Iran, I'm curious about your take on the view of the Eric Cantor view, which is shared by many people, that, you know, to mistrust but verify is how you have to view the Iranian leadership. Take us sort of inside what's going on in Iran right now, how people are reacting, but also whether or not there really is now a different kind of leadership where some of our notions about how we view Iranian leadership may really be different now.
I think overall, the deal has received a very warm welcome by Iranians we've talked to in the past 2-3 days. There's among some, there's even a sort of euphoria. I think they don't realize how much this deal can achieve. They think that now that this deal has been signed, everything is going to change. You know, Iranians have been suffering from the sanctions that the U.S. and Western countries have imposed on Iran over its sensitive nuclear work. Everything is very, very expensive in Iran. The inflation is skyrocketing. Prices are rising every day. So people are hoping, you know, that this deal there is some lifting of the sanctions, but it's not very significant at this point. So they hope that a permanent deal will improve their lives. You know, people don't want to be isolated. You have a very young population in Iran who want to be connected to the world. They all love the U.S. They want to come here. They want to be able to travel. So there's a lot of hope in this deal, and also they hope that this will ultimately lead to a better relationship with the U.S. In terms of whether the leadership has changed in Iran, not really. The main decision maker is Ayatollah Khamenei, the supreme leader. But there's a new president, Hassan Rouhani, who is a moderate. He's a moderate. He's not a reformer, but he's trying to make some changes. They might not be very significant. We have to wait and see. He has been in power for only 100 days. But when you live in that country, even small changes matter. Let's give it some time and see where this is going.
Janine Zakaria, when Prime Minister Netanyahu said yesterday that this is a historic mistake, today the world has become a more dangerous place, were his words. Do you see that as just being what Netanyahu needs to say because that's what he needs to say? Or what kind of pushback now is there likely to be from Israel? We learned this morning that he's sending one of his advisors to Washington to discuss this further. What do you make of what's going on now in the relationship between Netanyahu and President Obama?
Yeah, well, I mean, if you recall, President Obama made a trip to Israel in March to really try and repair ties with Prime Minister Netanyahu, which really had suffered throughout President Obama's entire term in office. All kinds of disagreements, first about an Israeli settlement freeze, then, of course, as the Arab Spring erupted, in the way that President Netanyahu thought that President Obama had mismanaged that, particularly by not supporting Hosni Mubarak. So there's a history of tensions between them and a downright skepticism among the Israelis, and Prime Minister Netanyahu in particular, about how effective or efficient or knowledgeable President Obama can be in managing Middle Eastern affairs. So you had a bit of a love fest in March, which now has really gone out the window again with this. But I think you're going to see, and you're already starting to see in Israel, some pushback on Prime Minister Netanyahu's approach here, namely because it doesn't really cost anything here, right? I mean, as Golnaz was saying, I mean, the sanctions relief is very limited. There's still going to be a lot of money that they can't tap into for 6 months. And even when you talk to Israelis who support a military strike, they say, you know, all we could even do with a strike, and similarly here with this deal, is delay the effort to get a nuclear weapons. In other words, they bought 6 months. So I think it's a little bit hyperbolic, his reaction, but I think he has to do it in part because he really does fear a nuclear Iran, and he does worry that they're obfuscating because Ali Khamenei is still in charge. On the other hand, there are politics at play here, and Netanyahu has reduced the entire Israeli foreign policy to this Iranian question. He doesn't want to see it removed from the table, and namely, he doesn't want to have pressure to deal with the Palestinian issue, which this has allowed him, the concerns about Iran, to really not have to focus on.
Janine Zakaria, visiting lecturer at Stanford University, former Jerusalem bureau chief for The Washington Post, joining us along with Golnaz Esfandiari, senior correspondent for Radio Free Europe. We'd like you to join us as well. If you have questions for either Golnaz or Janine, you can join us at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum@kqed.org or post your thoughts or questions on our Facebook page. We have 10 minutes or so to get in as many of your comments or questions as we can. Golnaz, I'm interested in your reaction to a story that just came across from the AP about an hour ago, which was detailing the Saudi reaction. There had been thought that and some earlier concerns expressed by the Saudis about this kind of deal, but let me just read the first part of the story, which is Saudi Arabia is cautiously welcoming a deal reached between world powers. The statement by the Saudi cabinet on Monday was the first official reaction from the kingdom to the deal. The statement released said in part that this could be a good first step if there was goodwill. So sort of cautious, positive reaction from the Saudis. Does that surprise you? How significant is that?
I think it's very significant. I was actually surprised when I saw that reaction earlier today. We know that Saudis have been very much against any deal with Iran. It goes also, it's partly because of the regional rivalry with Iran. And it's a good sign that, they welcome this deal. I agree with when President Obama said that the world is safer now. I mean, there wasn't any other good option. Maybe this is not the ideal deal, although most nuclear experts, have said that this is a good deal, as good as, it was possible to get. And since the progress on a nuclear bomb by Iran has been stopped, I think it's good for everyone. And I think the diplomatic solution is the only good option to this crisis with Iran. This crisis has been going on for more than a decade. And for the first time, there seemed to be a solution. There seem to be some light at the end of the tunnel. So I think it's everyone should welcome this.
But isn't the pushback on that, and I'd like both of you to respond to this, that, look, it's tough sanctions that got Iran to negotiate at all. Now we're sort of easing up on those sanctions, and we have said that Iran can at least continue to enrich in some form, the agreement says, with practical limits. Not clear at all what that means. But Iranians, at least the Iranian leadership, is taking that to mean, Golnaz, that has been now codified in some way. They can continue to enrich. Meanwhile, we're sort of backing off from some of our sanctions. So that's the concern. Respond to that.
They can, yes. Iran has been allowed to enrich uranium under 5%. And let's not forget that a very important part of this deal is that Iran has committed itself to unprecedented transparency regarding its nuclear program. This is something we haven't had before. So from now on, there's going to be more intrusive inspections by the IAEA, by the UN inspectors. There's another point you asked me. Can you repeat your question?
Well, I'm just saying the pushback on this is that now is not the time to lift sanctions. That that's the principal concern being raised by Chuck Schumer and others.
I totally agree that sanctions were one of the main reasons why Iran came to the table and, you know, engaged in serious negotiations with the West. But I don't think more sanctions would mean more concessions from Iran. You know, Iranians, we're a very proud nation, the nuclear program, it has to do a lot with legitimacy for Iran's supreme leader. You have to give something to Iran. You have to give something to the Rouhani government to take it back to the supreme leader. Said, you know, here's what we have, here's what we got. You can't just try to push Iran to capitulate on this. It's not going to work that way.
And Janine, how do you view that? Is the sort of counterpoint to the concern that now is not the time to lift sanctions, the transparency that Golnaz referred to, that there will now be inspections on a daily basis?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's the counter to the counter, right? I mean, I think another thing that they learned from the North Korean example is that it's going to be a phased lifting of a very small portion of overall sanctions. I mean, the sanctions overall are harsh. Over banking, energy, I mean, everything, right? I mean, so now they're going to get to, you know, get some airplane parts and tap into a little bit of their oil revenue that's been escrowed abroad, but they're still going to be hard hit. So I don't really buy it. And I think if there's one complaint, maybe, you know, nothing to do with the nuclear program. And this is a very narrow interim deal that has to do with the nuclear program. And yet the international community, the West, and others have lots of concerns about, for example, Iran's sponsorship of Hezbollah, which is helping to wreak havoc in Syria right now. I mean, there's a whole basket of issues. But again, you could also view this as a positive, right? Because you're starting to engage, you're starting to talk, and maybe you can start in the final bigger negotiations to really talk about some of those other concerns as well.
So in that sense, Janine, I mean, there is significance just in the fact that they both signed the same piece of paper. I mean, because it's been 35 years since there have been any kind of negotiation or any kind of agreement.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just Dave, look at the body language that you had going on at the signing at 4 a.m. the other night between John Kerry and Foreign Minister Zarif. I mean, it's really it's quite a shift. Now, you know, you don't want to oversell it, right? We had deals with the North Koreans, but you know, I covered these six-party talks with the North Koreans, and you never really had anything like this between Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice and the Foreign Minister of North Korea. So I'm hopeful that, you know, at least they're going to be able to make it through the 6 months. But you know, on the Middle East and certainly on this issue, it's hard to prognosticate.
David
and
Bright.
Also one,
yes,
one
go
issue
ahead.
I may add that is important here is that if Iran doesn't remain committed, you know, to this deal, the sanctions will be turned back on.
Right.
So it's, I think that's also a very important element.
Email from David. So this so-called deal with Iran, is it real or is it purely for show so that both leaders can claim they got the deal? Is this what Israel is calling out about this? So you want to take that, if you would, Golnaz. To what extent is there really something concrete here, or is it a photo op in a sense?
No, I think it's definitely there's something very concrete here. For the first time, Iran has agreed to suspend very sensitive nuclear work that could lead to the production of nuclear weapons. One of the points in this deal is that Iran will suspend work on the Arak nuclear Arak heavy water reactor that could potentially use to the production of plutonium, which is used for nuclear bombs. So I think this is very real, this deal that has been signed in Geneva.
As we look forward, Secretary Kerry was very concrete about saying yesterday the tough work remains. Give us some sense of what that tough work is, Janine. What are the concrete things that have to happen to make this be something that lasts beyond just this 6-month interim agreement?
You know, I'm not sure. This is one of the things we're not really clear about, what they're actually going to go for in the longer term. I mean, I'm thinking that, you know, they're going to have to see whether they can just formalize in a longer version some of these commitments. I mean, in response to that email, just take a look at the fact sheet that was released about all the very specific commitments that Iran agreed to in terms of halting certain levels of enrichment, neutralizing part of their stockpile. The key question, of course, is going to be whether they're willing to do that beyond 6 months, and whether the inspections regime can really hold up. What's going to happen with Iraq? Like Golnaz pointed out, the Israelis were worried that was going to go online next summer. So are they going to really actually have to be request? Is the U.S. going to request that they actually dismantle some of this stuff in a more robust way? Are those things, I think, are yet to be resolved? But certainly just getting this to last beyond 6 months is going to be the first chief goal.
Well, and that's some of what Chuck Schumer and others were pushing back on over the last 24 hours, which was making the point this doesn't even go as far as some of the U.N. Resolutions. It doesn't require deconstruction of any of Iran's nuclear infrastructure, that it just isn't enough. How do you each respond to that concern? Janine first.
I'm a little bit surprised that Senator Schumer, I'm not totally surprised, but a little surprised that he's been that hawkish on this. I'm surprised that there's just not a little bit more of, okay, we're skeptical, but let's see. It rolls it back 6 months. And frankly, when you haven't been able to get a deal in a decade, and then you get a deal that's partial, and actually, as I mentioned, and as Golnaz mentioned, there's a lot of specifics that are going to really limit Iran's quest for a nuclear weapon. That's what this is all about at the end of the day. It's not about maintaining a sanctions regime. It's not about right to enrich, about stopping them from getting a nuclear weapon. And there's no way you can look at this deal and not say, yes, this, if they implement it, and that's the key X factor here, it will retard their ability to achieve a nuclear weapon. So, that's the response to Chuck Schumer.
And Golnaz, last, the sanctions that remain in place are considerable. Is it your estimation, based on your sense of how things are right now in Iran, that those remaining sanctions will be sufficient to sort of keep everyone focused on reaching a more permanent agreement?
Everything will depend on Ayatollah Khamenei, I think, and whether Rouhani will manage to convince him to make lasting concessions to the West. He's the ultimate decision maker. One thing that I think he would not agree to is suspending uranium enrichment. I think that's one of the red lines in Iran, and Iranian foreign minister and other officials have said that. I don't think Khamenei would ever agree to that. And I think that's why the U.S. and other countries have given Iran the right, I mean, not the right, but they've allowed Iran to enrich uranium under 5%, because they know otherwise there's not going to be a deal between the two sides.
Golnaz Asfandiari, senior correspondent for Radio Free Europe. Thanks so much for being part of our program this morning.
Thank you.
And thanks to Janine Zakaria, visiting lecturer at Stanford University, former Jerusalem Bureau Chief for The Washington Post. Janine, thank you.
My pleasure.
And Forum continues in just a moment. We will turn our attention in our next half hour to what happened at San Jose State this past week. Some troubling developments there. We'll talk about that when we return. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.